Good morning, everybody. Good morning. It was my wife and it was free. Okay. Nate Weaver is not here today. That's why this has not moved. Excuse me one second, folks. All right. There we go. Actually, you know, as I'm moving this, you know, I'm realizing a couple of things as I move this podium over here. The first thing that I realize is that the Weaver family are on vacation this weekend. And the second thing I realize is that I have 10 pages of notes sitting on my bathroom counter for today's sermon. So aren't you glad that the Lord is bigger than all those things? Isn't that amazing? We can trust him in all situations, at all times. So what do you guys want to talk about? No. All right. So let's start off and let's get through some of the announcements. And we'll share some stuff. And then we will get into today's teaching. And we'll see definitely what the Lord has for you guys. I didn't load it on the thumb drive because I thought, why bother? It's already printed off. It's okay. The Lord will... We're going to trust the Lord with it. Okay, God is in control. Yes, there's lots of bread. Hezekiah, I don't know if you got the bread out of the trunk, but there's a bunch of loaves of bread in the trunk. If you didn't get that, would you grab my keys and you and Nathan go bring that in for me? Yeah. Or yes, no, maybe so. Okay. I think they might have brought more. We'll check. That'd be great. Thanks. Okay, so there's free bread back in the back. Take as much as you want home. We literally have about 3 or 4 bags of bread. Wonderful fresh baguettes from Panera and, what was it, ciabatta bread? Is that how you say it? All right. Tithes and offerings, we don't take it up. We don't want to feel anybody to feel manipulated. You can give in the back. There's a wonderful place in the back that you can give, a nice little bird box. He provides for the birds of the air. He provides for us. And we are very grateful to the Lord. Also, a little bit of housekeeping. I went out there, and there is literally not one parking spot. So what I did was I moved my car along the side so nobody hit it on your way out. And so if you guys, what we're going to do over the next 60 days, we're going to, Lord willing, move some dirt around back there and get some more pylons. And so when you go through to the very back to those trees, you'll be able to go to the right, and there'll be a whole bunch of more parking spots out there and maybe a few to the left. We're still working on that. So if you would, just don't block that middle part so that folks will be able to go and we'll have more places to park. But we're so glad you're here. We're so thankful for that. We're also welcoming still Lester and Peggy. And we're just very thankful for them, and we just pray God's blessing over you both. And, yeah, just personally and corporately, we're just so thankful that you're here, and that's the truth in Jesus' name. All right, we want to encourage you to go see the movie Overcomer. If you haven't seen that movie yet, go now before it is out of the theaters. Continue praying for the folks we just baptized. Was that 2-3 weeks ago? Okay. Three, four. All right, so, Alan. Alan, you are here. I know I saw you. Raise your paw. Okay, guys, can I just tell you? I'm going to tell a quick story on Alan. Okay, Alan was, Alan just got baptized. He spent many years. He was in church, but then started coming to our Bible studies and some of the, and the men's group and Mark and Gary and then started coming to church anyway. So he got saved. He got baptized. It's been an incredibly exciting time as he's kind of been very religious most of his life, I would say. And so he, right after he got baptized, he was in the hospital. And so, twice actually. And so I talked to him the first time. He's just saying, you know, he's in there for heart things. It's very serious stuff. And he's like, I'm just trusting the Lord now. I'm trusting Jesus no matter what happens in this thing. I'm nervous, but I'm trusting the Lord. And it was very exciting. And he had to go back in and he had to have an operation. And he did something that he doesn't normally do as he was in the heart catheterization unit, whatever. With the doctors and nurses before they sedated him, he said, doctor, can I do something? Can I just pray for you and your team? which was a really wonderful big step. And he said, the doctor kind of, okay, yeah, sure, okay. And so he prayed. He said, Lord, I just pray you'd bless their hands. And I just pray that you would, I remember your exact prayer, but it was really worded beautifully. And he just prayed it all. I pray that you would guide them. You would help them when they call out to you, whatever, in Jesus' name. And then they sedated him, and he was a little sedated. And then he said, so afterwards, what they did was they were trying about 9 or 10 times to get that heart cath in, and they actually couldn't do it. And so they had scheduled them, like, if this doesn't work, right, to go to immediate to heart surgery or to the other wing, yeah, to heart surgery, immediate. And at the doctor was so frustrated at about the 9th or 10th time. And so you know what he did, because he took the time and prayed over them? Now, this guy is not a believer. He's like a Buddhist or something. And he just said, I remember, he just prayed. He said, I just pray that this catheter, heart cath, would go in Jesus' name. And he prayed it out loud. And guess what happened? Went right in. He's like, I don't know what happened. I just prayed it. So I love it. God bless you. That's just a praise report. I'm so glad that God's doing a work in your life and in each one of these people. Please pray for them, as I'm sure the enemy, like I said, is always throwing everything but the kitchen sink, especially now that they've accepted the Lord. Also, Amanda Panda and Josh's diaper shower. Aw, look at Jazz. He's so cute. Anyway, Saturday, October 12th, we'll be here at 2 p.m. at Home Fellowship Church, and just some suggested items to bring to support their family, our diapers and hypoallergenic wipes, and just bring a dish to share, and it'll just be a really nice time, and we all love you, and we love your family, and so, woo-woo! And so, anyway, also pray for them as they're having your, I can ask now, you are pregnant for sure. You okay, just want to make sure. My wife always, I always get in trouble. Okay, I just want to. So, okay. So that's fantastic. Okay, so please pray for them as well. You can join us here Sunday mornings for prayer with Gare Bear. Pastor Gary, could you raise your hand? Woo-woo. Okay. You can join us here at 9 a.m. for prayer. I'm so thankful for that prayer team. Men's Bible studies, first and third Tuesdays at 6 p.m. is dinner, and 6:30 is Bible study going through 1 Corinthians. Is that this week? I knew it. I was just testing you. Also, the women's Bible study on the second and fourth Tuesdays. I've heard so many good things about this. Erica's not here to hear all the praise reports, but I just walked in the last few minutes of it last week, and I just got so much encouragement on what God's doing through that women's Bible study. Whosoever's youth group here every Wednesday at 6:30 to 8:30. And then Experiencing God course, I heard you got about 20 people, roughly, 21 people again. And that's fantastic. Saturdays, 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. If you still want to take it, Gary is so merciful and munificent, I think he would allow you to take it, of course. Okay, we even have the workbooks right here, so you can see Pastor Gary if you want to take that. All right. Also, continue to pray for Shepherd's Heart Christian School. The people working at the school are genuinely missionaries, and so we just ask you to pray for them. If I could only tell you the amount of ministry that goes on there is unbelievable. And also, Pastor Jonathan, can you come up here for a second? You don't know we're going to do this. But you are back in the swing of things. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. With, yep,
back
at the college students.
At the college students. Okay. Yeah. And so I just want us to take a minute and just pray over him. And if you guys don't know, if you haven't been here a long time, we ordained Jonathan a pastor. And he's ministering out at the colleges, at New Colleges, at Ringling, and at USF, correct? Mm-hmm. And so we just want to all take a minute and pray over him. We support him as a church. But if you would like to support him personally and their ministry, you are absolutely welcome. We'd encourage you to do that as well. So let's pray for this young man. Father, I just want to thank you for my friend, and I do ask, Lord, that you would take care of every aspect of his ministry, Lord God, that he would trust you, Lord, in plenty, and he would trust you and want. I pray that you would give him the ability to speak, Lord, that you would anoint his tongue, Lord God, to speak words of truth to those students, Lord God, in a way that they would receive, Lord God. Help him to be wise as a serpent, but innocent as a dove, Lord God, as your word pours forth, Lord God. Help him to be led by your Holy Spirit, Lord God, and provide in every way, bring people with a hunger that want to know you, Lord God, even in those hostile environments, Lord God. Bring them to the door. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 God bless you, brother. Thank you. Yes.
Could you share with Mike?
Sure. So this week we just started the college ministries. And as you know, in the fall, a lot of new freshmen come and new students coming. And when we first started this ministry on the college campuses, we only found like maybe a couple people that were interested. And since then, they've been kind of seeing themselves as missionaries to their campus, have been doing outreaches and different things going on the campus with other students. And it's grown from just like two students on each campus to about 40 on all the campuses. And these are small campuses. So to get groups of that size is pretty amazing. So God's been blessing it. I feel like the students are just searching for truth. And when they come and be a part of our community, they're like, this is what I was looking for. This is what I was searching for all this time. And Jesus is meeting them there, and we're seeing lots of fruit. So please pray for these college students. There's still thousands of students in Sarasota and Bradenton that have no idea of what God's love is about. So please pray for us and our ministry and for these students. Appreciate it.
Okay, and also, I don't know if Laura's here again. Also, if you guys want to join North River Care Pregnancy Center, don't forget that their banquet is coming up. We support them as well. The 21st annual banquet is Thursday, October 10th. And so we would encourage you to support that. And Gary, I'll talk to you about that too. Don't let me forget, please. Okay. All right. Now, is there anything announcement-wise I've forgotten? Oh, yes. Okay. Sure. Come on up, Betty. I always get nervous and say, "Yeah, I've got an announcement." Oh, really?
There we go. All right, I'm back on.
Sure. All right. Here you go, Betty.
We are having. How many here knows what Alzheimer's is? Okay, my father passed away with this 6 years ago. And we are having a walk-a-thon November the 16th. And I'm just asking if anybody could sponsor me in this walk. We are taking donations to go towards the cure for Alzheimer's. And I knew if anybody would support me, my church would, and my church family. But I'm going to be walking a 5K walk. Lord help me. And I will be bringing an envelope next week. I forgot it this week. And I have brochures on it if anybody wants to look at the brochures.
Where do we make the checkout?
That's where I'm going to have to tell you next week. I forgot.
You know what we're also going to do, Betty? You don't know this, but we're also going to pray for Betty. She's going to be walking this, but she's actually going through, hopefully I'm not going to embarrass you. She's going radiation therapy. And so we're going to pray for her too. We all love her, and so we're just taking a minute. Father, I thank you for our friend Betty, Lord, and I thank you for her husband, Lord. And Lord, I just ask that you would continue to heal her. Thank you for providing for her in every way possible, Lord. We ask that you would strengthen her countenance, Lord. You would heal her body, Lord, as she's going through this, Lord, and that you would bring people in to support her, Lord God, in this endeavor, Lord. So thank you for her heart that knows you and loves you, Lord. And I pray a blessing. We pray a blessing over her, Lord God, of strength and of healing in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We love you, Betty. All right. All right. Well, if you can open your Bibles. We just finished James, and we spent 6 months in the book of James. Thank you. Praise the Lord. I think right before that, we spent 6 months in the book of Daniel. And so basically we're going on a trip with a guy by the name of David Guzik. And so we're headed footsteps of the Apostle Paul. So we're going to be going to, me and my family, we're going to be going to places that Paul visited in Rome and Greece and Israel. And so we've got some wonderful speakers. Pastor Gary will be sharing the word. He feels like the Lord has put something on his heart for us. We'll all be gone. But we have 2 weeks in here that I have to figure out what to teach. Three? 2 weeks, okay. And so we're going to do Psalm 23 today, and then maybe Psalm 19 next week. And in the meantime, because I can't start another book, but I think we're also going to have Lester and Peggy share. I think Lester's going to come up and share with us while I'm gone. And I think he might have something to say. For those of you who don't know, they've been 48, they're missionaries, and they still are. And they are 48 years on the mission field, just getting back with us again from Zimbabwe. And so they're going to be sharing. And actually, we also need to pray for them because they're the lead speakers at a missions conference that's coming up here also during that time while I'm gone. But they'll be sharing here as well. And so please keep them in prayer. But we are going to look at Psalm 23. And Psalm 23 is an amazing psalm. A lot of people know the psalm. How many knew the psalm before you really gave your heart to Jesus Christ? Raise your hand. Okay, a lot of people. Now, can I ask you another question? How many people, now that you've been born again, now that you know the Lord Jesus Christ personally, when you read that psalm, it takes a whole new meaning? There is so much of a difference between knowing the psalm, right, and then knowing the shepherd of the psalm. It's a completely different thing. It's a completely different story. When we look at the psalm, and when we look at Psalm 23, it's almost like God is put... if you guys are familiar with some of God's compound names that they have in the Hebrew scriptures, it's almost like he's put his names and his character throughout the Psalms. We don't have Soph here today. I need somebody to run this microphone. Who doesn't mind being a runner? Mark, great. Can you? You just have to turn it off and on. Would somebody read Psalm 23 for me that doesn't mind reading the entire psalm? Just raise your hand if you would, and Mark will bring you the microphone. Okay, great. Thanks, Chris. Now we get the beautiful radio voice. Chris.
There you go.
Sit down. Now, I asked, I felt like the Lord wanted me to do Psalm 23, and Gary said, I think I did that last year. And Gary said, no, you didn't. And I said, I did it a couple years ago. He said, no, you didn't. And so I looked back all the way to when we started recording, when we were going through Nehemiah in 2015. I didn't do it. I guess I did it about a decade ago. I thought it was like last year. So anyway, Chris, if you would read Psalm 23 to us, or for us.
The Lord is my shepherd. I shall lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and loving kindness shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you. We see in this psalm the names and the character described in Psalm 23, and we see those compound names. I've filled up the screen. I'm going to fill up the screen with some of these. But as you go through the psalms, you see the character of God, the names, these Hebrew compound names of God describing the Lord so perfectly through this short 6-verse psalm. I came up with 8, and honestly, I had about 13. I just couldn't fit them on the screen. But they describe, they're so deep, it describes our shepherd, our God, so wonderfully. It starts off with verse 1, where it literally says, "The Lord is my shepherd." And that just means Yahweh Ra'ah, Ra'ah shepherd, "The Lord is my shepherd." And that describes who our God is in such a personal way. Jehovah Jireh, "The Lord is my provider." And this is the interesting word here that you see a lot. "The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my provider." In verse 1b, it says, "I shall not be in want." He is Jehovah Jireh. He is provided. He will provide all that you need in your life. Maybe not all that you want, right? But all that you need. He is also known as Jehovah Shalom, "The Lord is peace," where it says in verse 2 that he leads me beside quiet waters. And he gives you that peace that transcends all understanding. So you could be in the worst possible predicament, right? Like, let's just say you're going to stand before a room full of people with 10 pages of written notes and know that you have nothing. Now, that doesn't make me feel happy. But you know what? I have his peace. And I know that he's going to minister, even if it's not everything I designed it to be, it'll be what he intends it to be, because he's God. He is Jehovah Shalom. "The Lord is my peace." He's Jehovah Rapha. You see that in verse 3. "As he restores my soul, he renews my soul, he refreshes my soul. He is the Lord my healer," Jehovah Rapha. He is Jehovah Tsidkenu, which is "The Lord is my righteousness." You see that in the second part of verse 3. "He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He is my righteousness." Anything I get, when people say really wonderful things about me, which happens like half the time, the other side, it's they like want to throw tomatoes at me. But anyway, when they say really nice things about me, I can honestly look at them and say, "Oh, thank you so much. It really is the Lord." Now, I'm not doing that to sound humble. I'm telling you, it really is the Lord. I want them to see, if they see good in me, if they see godliness, do you know what I mean? It's not me, it's Christ living in me. It's my shepherd working in and through me. Does that make sense? Yes. We knew that. Yes, you do. In verse 4, you have Jehovah Shema, which is "The Lord is present." And it says, "I will fear no evil, for you are with me." Man, the Lord says he's with you all the time. In fact, not only in the Gospel of John does it say that he wants to be with you, but when you become born again, it says that Jesus will live in you. That's an amazing thing. He could dwell anywhere he wants in the entire universe, but he says, "Teresa, I love you so much. I want to be close to you. I want to be, I'm going to be in you. I want to be in you." Does that not blow your mind? It blows my mind, especially when I know me and I'm thinking, yeah, maybe you want to be in that person, you know, Peggy, but you sure you want to be in me? And he's like, "I love you, son." Does that blow you away? He's also known as Jehovah Nisi, "The Lord is my banner." Verse 5 says, "You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies." Listen, the Lord doesn't want me to share the part. Okay, "You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies." You could have people are jealous of you or hate you or knock you down or whatever. Do you know what? The Lord's saying, "That's okay, son. I'm preparing a nice picnic lunch for you. They can all just move to the side and we're going to sup together because Jesus says, I love you, son." That's amazing to me. He says, "I want to fellowship with you. I want to eat with you. I want to hang with you." What? That's our God. He's also known as Jehovah Shelech. Actually, it's Chelech, but I don't, anyway. Jehovah Shelech. "The Lord is my inheritance. And listen, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Man, he is that prize, man. Everything that he is him. You know, the Bible says a lot about sheep and shepherds. If you don't know, the Bible talks a lot about shepherds. Moses, if you remember Moses, he was a shepherd, right? David was a shepherd, right? Jacob was a shepherd. Joseph also did some shepherding. Jesus, of course, known as our Good Shepherd. And it the Bible likens us, you might not like this, to sheep. Now, if I had my choice, I think I would pick something else. Like I would pick a cooler animal. Do you know what I'm saying? Like sheep aren't known for being particularly fierce, right? Do you know what I'm saying? Like you don't see any football teams. You got the Chicago Bears, you got the Detroit Lions, the Denver Broncos, and the Sarasota Bradenton Sheep. They're not known for being, you know, particularly agile, right? You don't see any frisbee sheep. You don't see that you know how they have little obstacle courses and stuff for animals to go through. You never see that happening with sheep. They're not the smartest tools in the shed. No offense, but you know, you don't see any diabetic alert sheep. Do you? I mean, you know what I'm saying? You know, but that's more the dog, not the sheep. Now, I see a hand raised up there. So, Mark, if you could bring a microphone because people want to hear what you have to say. You are? Yeah, here.
Your uncle.
Yeah.
Yes. Sheep know the master's voice.
Ah, that is absolutely true. And we're going to get to that in just a moment. For right now, Isaiah 53:6 likens us to sheep and says this. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Isn't that true? We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Listen, sheep will follow anybody anywhere. And we all want to go our own way. We do. But when you come to know the shepherd personally, you're going to learn to listen for his voice. You're going to want to follow him. You're going to want to obey his commands. Let's start off in this Psalm 23 in verse 1. And it says, it starts off, "The Lord is my shepherd." All right, let's just stop right there. Listen, can I tell you something? The Bible says that the Lord is the shepherd. But there is an eternity of difference between saying the Lord is the shepherd and when you can say the Lord is my shepherd. I remember a girl. She's not a girl now. Anyway, I remember a woman many, many years ago. And I don't remember if I was either I was not saved or I was very, very babyish in the Lord first couple of years out of the chute. And I remember this woman talking about my Jesus and my Jesus this and my Jesus that and my Jesus is so great and my Jesus, my Jesus, my Jesus. And as she talked, I started getting really angry. I said, who does she think she is? Her Jesus. Now that I'm walking with the Lord, he's my Jesus. I want you to think about how you describe him in your own. Don't say it out loud. But if I were to ask you, you know, who is Jesus to you? Now, don't answer. Just think about it. If I asked you this question, who is Jesus to you? Who is Jesus to you? Okay, think of an answer. Everybody got one? Who is Jesus to you? Now, whatever answer you're thinking of, chances are most people, most of the world will say, oh, he's the man who died on the cross. He's the Savior. He's the Son of God. Now, for those of you who know him personally, are probably going to be saying, he's my Savior. He's my Lord. He's my best friend. Because it's personal. It's relational. That personal pronoun makes all the difference. Does that make sense? Listen, it's a difference almost between us being religious, right? And us being relational with him. It's the difference between the do's and don'ts. I'm a I call myself a Christian, I'm a little religious robot, and having a life-giving, vibrant relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And listen, I'm not the only one who says so. This is Psalm 18:2, and I'm actually going to give you, I don't have it up here, but I'm remembering. Psalm 18:1, it's, you know what it starts off with, this psalm? It starts off with, it says, I love you, Lord. You're my strength. Psalm 18:1. I love you, Lord. Right? That's, I love you, Lord. You're my strength. Then he goes on to say in Psalm 18:2, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. He's my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation. He's my stronghold. Do you see that? It's personal, it's real, it's life-giving, it's relational. Psalm 62, verse 6 says, he alone is my rock and my salvation. He's my fortress, and I will not be shaken. It's personal. Listen, you could have gone to church for a long time and not understand that personal relationship with Jesus, and it makes all the difference. Listen, in Matthew 7, 21 and 23, this is important. Jesus said this, and he said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Listen, knowing about someone and knowing them personally is way different. Do you know what I'm saying? And knowing Jesus, knowing about Jesus and knowing Jesus is completely different. John 10, 14:27 says this, and you are, Uncle Rick, that's, you are, says, he says in here, he goes, I am the good shepherd. Jesus said, I know my sheep. Ah, there's that word again, mine. I know my sheep, and what does it say? And my sheep what? Know me. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. Wow. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that personal? Isn't that relational? Do you get it? So much different. Listen, this is in Philippians 4:19. Well, I'll wait on that, actually, now that I think about that. It says, the Lord is my shepherd. So I guess, you know, one of the questions that you can ask yourself really is, you know, is he your shepherd? Have you made it personal? Do you really follow him, or do you just go to church or youth group or whatever? Because that's it. That there's nothing to that. That's empty. That's going to burn up like wood, hay, and stubble. That means nothing. But if you can say with your heart, he's my savior, he's my shepherd, he's my friend, oh my goodness, then all this applies to you. Listen, everybody reads this psalm, but when it says the Lord is my shepherd, listen, if the Lord isn't your shepherd personally, can I just, I don't want to be offensive here, but this doesn't really apply to you. Right? The Lord is my shepherd. This is I want you to receive all the benefits that God has to give for you and to you, but you don't just automatically get it. You have to bend the knee. Listen, it says, the Lord is my shepherd. He says, and I shall not be in want. And I like that. Because Philippians 4:19 says, huh, look at that. My God, he says, and my God will meet all your needs. Or another, my translation says, supply all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. See, my God is going to supply all your needs. If you call him, you can say he's my shepherd, he's going to provide for you in every way. That's Jehovah Jireh. That's a great provider. That means he's going to provide for you relationally. He's going to provide for you financially. He's going to provide for you. Now listen, it doesn't mean that you get everything you want, but he'll give you everything you need. And he's a good dad, and he knows the difference. Because sometimes we stomp our feet because we're not getting what we want. And he's like, oh, son. Now, I'm sure I've probably never had that happen with any of my children. When they want something, and I'm thinking, oh, my goodness, you don't need that. Believe me, you need the opposite of that. Hypothetically speaking. And it's the same way God would do with us. We think we want, we want, we want. And God's like, you don't need that right now. Trust me. You can trust him. Psalm, this is 34, 9 and 10 says, fear the Lord. And that word in Hebrew means a reverent respect. It's not like the boogeyman or something. He says, fear the Lord, you his godly people. For those who fear him, who have that reverent respect and love for him, will have all they need. Even strong young lions sometimes go hungry. But those who trust in the Lord will lack what? No good thing. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. I love that. I have... Here, we're gonna pass you the microphone. Yeah, no, you got to have it because then people listen. We have people listen all over the country, and they would say, "Hey, you like to get the microphone."
Hey, I heard a lady that was a sheep herder, and she differed a little bit with what you commonly hear. Usually, guys talk about how dumb sheep are, and she didn't feel like they were so dumb. Just helpless. They needed a shepherd.
Yes. Yes. And that's a good point. Okay, I receive that. And sheep, yeah, okay, I'm saying dumb. I'm using raw language. But yes, I would probably say, yeah, you're okay. I trust you, dude. You're okay. But that's a good point. But that's a good point. They do constantly need to be taken care of. Philip Keller wrote a great book. I'll try to bring in free copies next week, and I'll give them to anyone who will read them. It's called Shepherd's Look at Psalm 23. And that's a fantastic book if you haven't read it. Somebody text me and remind me to bring the book in. I'll bring it in next week. We'll give it to you as a gift in Jesus' name if you'll read it. And it says, in order for the sheep to be at rest, maybe I should wait on that one. I'll wait just a minute. But I'll tell you, say it. They need to be free of fear. You know, the sheep, they're not normally at peace and rest unless the shepherd's right there and can calm everybody down. They're not going to be at peace and rest if somebody's growling at them. If there's any friction, you know, if the sheep goes and lays in a spot and gets butted by somebody else, one of the other ewes or whatever like that, they can't have that fear. They can't have that friction. They have to be fed. Or they're always around looking for grass and panicking. And the shepherd has to be right there taking good care of them. And that's what our good shepherd does. Yes.
I was just thinking, you know, this is not a Christian proverb, but it was kind of like it was an African proverb that could kind of relate to the Bible in almost a way. Like it said that an army of sheep led by a lion can easily defeat a sheep with an army of lions, yeah. Which just kind of shows that, you know, no matter how many demons back up this one, any person of the world, you know, Jesus will always be there leading us no matter what happens.
Yes, that's exactly right. It goes on to say this. It says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. And I love this because if you would just take Jesus and you would put him at the center of your life, not in addition, do you know what I'm saying? Like here's what a lot of people want to do. They want to add Jesus. I want to live the way I'm living and just add Jesus when it's convenient. I don't want him to upset my life. That's not how it works. You know what I'm saying? He's either Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. But if you would put Jesus at the center, it brings everything into focus. Matthew 6:33 says, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and then everything will be added unto you as well. He'll line it up. But you have to put Jesus. I love that, even that picture. Look how sharp it is, right in the middle. The rest is blurry because the focus is right. If you put Jesus first at the center of your life, everything will come into play. You don't need to worry about the relationships, the funds. You put Jesus first and he'll take care of the rest. You can trust him. Sounds like I'm yelling at you, but I'm not. I'm just saying. Okay. It goes on to say, and I like this. It says in verse 2, he makes me lie down in green pastures. That next part, he makes me lie down in green pastures. Listen, can I just be honest here? Sometimes the shepherd, our good shepherd, makes us lie down. Now listen, sometimes we're so distracted by so many things. Isn't it true? Come on. We distract ourselves. You know what? My cell phone is very useful. Sometimes I want to take a hammer to it. Okay? I realize it. Sometimes my computer is super useful. Sometimes I want to take a sledgehammer to that one. And sometimes, you know, God has to clear out everything and he has to make us lie down and he has to have us rest. And sometimes, can I be honest? The only time, and you guys won't be, this is the visual that most people won't be able to see. Sometimes the only way to see God when we're not paying any attention, we're always on the horizontal, is when we're on our back, flat on our back. And the only place we have to look is up. Sometimes he makes us lie down in green pastures for our good. And the Bible says that. He makes us lie down in green pastures. And then it says, he leads me beside quiet waters. And I so love that. He leads me, the scripture says. We have a shepherd that doesn't drive us. A lot of the Western shepherds, what they'll do is they'll take a stick and they'll beat the sheep to get them to do something. Or they'll take a cattle prod. You know what that is? And yes. And to get them to go, right? I remember a story of a friend by the name of Carol. And I remember her telling me the story. She's Scottish. And I remember her telling me the story of how when they had sheep and how they couldn't get the sheep to move no matter what. They pushed. I won't even tell you some of the things that I don't want, in case I ever say who that person was. But they did hit the sheep and cattle prod it, and the thing would not leave. It wouldn't move out of the pen. They actually had to call a master shepherd. The master shepherd walked over. And I'm trying to remember, this was a story from a while ago. I don't remember if he just spoke some word or whistled some whistle or did some things. And you know what happened? All the sheep followed the shepherd. Came right out. We have a good shepherd that doesn't beat us, right? He leads us. And listen, for those of you who are shepherds or might be a shepherd someday, pastor shepherd, listen, that's the kind of pastor that we need to be. That's the kind of spiritual leader we need to be. One that leads the sheep, not beats the sheep or manipulates the sheep or cajoles the sheep. We're going to get there no matter what. We're going to get to that other grass field. Oh, yes, we're missing half of them, or 20% are dying along the way. That's okay. We're going to get there. Ha ha, I'm a good shepherd. All these sheep are like, bah, help me, bah. That's not our shepherd. Listen, our shepherd has a heart. It says in Isaiah 40:11 that he tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and he carries them close to his heart. And he gently, what? Leads those that have young or that are young. That's our God. Even all the way in Revelation, listen to this. Revelation 7:17, all the way at the end of time, he says, for the lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. That's our good shepherd. And he will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. That's our good shepherd. He leads us. He'll never make you for your... Well, I shouldn't say sometimes he'll make you leave, but it's for your good. But that's our good shepherd. It goes on to say this, that he leads me beside quiet waters. And verse 2 says, he restores my soul. Some of your translations might say something different. Refreshes my soul, renews my soul, repairs my soul. It all is the same thing. He'll lead you beside still waters and he'll restore your soul. The word of God washing over us. His Holy Spirit healing us, blessing us. Psalm 19:7 in the NASB, so Mark, I know you'll like this one, says the law of the Lord is perfect in restoring the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure and trustworthy, making wise the simple. Listen, I'm a simple guy. I'm no Bible theologian. I'm a Bible lover. Do you know what I'm saying? Jesus has restored my soul. I'm rooted down deep by that living water. And I'll yield fruit in season because I'm rooted in his word and in that living water. He restores my soul. He'll heal you. I've watched him heal countless marriages, children, job situations, finances, terrible ways of thinking. I can't even, the list goes on and on and on. He's a repairer. He's a restorer. If you will let him do it, you don't need to run always to people. You don't need to be running to the latest self-help book. Run to Jesus. He's going to restore your soul personally. It says in John 10, verses 3 and 4, that the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name. He leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. That is our God. He's a restorer of broken hearts, a restorer and rebuilder of lives, of homes, of marriages. So listen, if you're carrying around a bunch of baggage and stinking thinking, and I tell you what, cast that burden on Jesus because he cares for you. He does care for you. And he'll restore your soul. Absolutely. I remember this one time. I can't remember the name of the movie off the top of my head. But it showed Jesus. He was like in a modern day, like if he came modern day, and he was a carpenter. I can't remember the name of it. Anyway. No, it wasn't the encounter, but it was something like that. Anyway, this girl came to him, this girl thought that he was being so nice and loving that he was interested in her.
He was acting like that.
And I didn't know. Anyway, and so she came, and he's like, no, I'm trying to point you to the love of the Lord. And she's like, oh, my whole life, I've been shattered and used by men. This is my life. And he was trying to say, God can repair all these things. God can restore it. And I remember she took this cup, a glass, if I remember correctly, it's water or whatever. She's like, this, you want to see my life? You want to see my life? This is me. This is me. This is me. And she took it and she smashed it, whatever, on wood or some stone ground into like a billion pieces. She said, this is my life. No one can restore this. And then later on in the movie, which was really beautiful, I can't remember. It's been like...
Joshua!
Yeah! Thank you. It was like 10, 50 years. Anyway, and when he left her with this thing after she got saved. And what he did was he made out of the millions of glass shards a beautiful princess. This is how God sees you. And this is what God does. He restores and rebuilds your life. So let's say you've gone the wrong way for a long time. You've got stinking thinking. Do you know what I'm saying? Maybe you've strayed. God says, come back to me. Come to me, all you who are weary, heavy laden. I will give you rest. Not me, not the church, not Jesus. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon, learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart. And there you'll find rest for your souls. It's in Jesus. So we're cruising right along. It says, he guides me, or as the ESV says, I like how the ESV says this line, he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And I love that. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And then it says this. It says, for even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Can I tell you? It doesn't say even though I walk through death. It says even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Can I tell you? A shadow of a dog will never bite and hurt you. A shadow of a bee will never sting you. Yeah. Do you know what I'm saying? These things are shadows. Listen, when it comes to the Lord, when it says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, or some of your translations might say, and I even like through the darkest valley, I like that almost better. To the darkest valley, I'll fear no evil, it says. Listen, because you're with me, he says. I love this, and this is a true thing. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, 55 and 57, it says this, O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, the world is so afraid to die, and I get it. I don't like the dying part. Do you know what I'm saying? But listen, can I tell you something? The whole world is so afraid to die. Anti-aging this. I just want to live a tiny bit longer. They're trying to hold on to their life forever. Now, Jesus is saying, listen, if you're a born-again Christian, can I tell you something? The worst thing that you think could ever happen to you, death, is now reverse card, uno card, is now the best thing that could ever happen to you. Because you'll be with the graduation. Yes, you're going to be with the Lord forever. He's going to wipe every tear from your eyes. There's no more crying, no more pain. You're going to be with the Lord forever. I was with an amazing couple a couple weeks ago having dinner. And this person died once or twice. And one was telling me about it. Loves the Lord. Loves the Lord. And was telling me... Loves the Lord, loves his ministry, loved the people, loves his wife, but he's just like, man, I didn't want to come back. I didn't want to come back. I love the ministry, but I didn't want to come back. Listen, this is the reverse Uno card of life. Okay, Philippians 1:21 says, Paul said this. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is actually gain. I'm the winner. Now that is opposite the world's thinking. Do you see what I'm saying? He's going to be with you, though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death. That is an amazing thing. And it says this, it says, actually, I'm going to give you a psalm. That's what I'm going to give you. No matter what, the Lord will be there for you. No matter what. This is from Psalm 139, 7 to 10. It says, where can I go from your spirit? And where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths and Sheol, whatever, you're there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me and your right hand will hold you fast. Do you remember Jonah? Our friend Jonah, we went through that some months, years ago. Anyway, he ran from the Lord. The Lord still got him to his destination. That's your God. He loves you. He says this, and I love this. When it says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. That is personal. This is what the Bible says in Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. Jesus says, and I love this little picture because, right, who's right there with her? Do you see that? Who's that a shadow of? I love it. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. That's his promise to you, believer. It says, so we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? That's how these disciples that went from total scaredy cats, right? They were hiding when Jesus first got crucified, right? But after he got resurrected, they're like, woohoo, let's go out and tell the world, right? what can man do to me? It says, your rod and your staff comfort me. The rod was used by the shepherd to fend off fierce animals that might be attacking the sheep. And the staff was had like a little, I don't know how to say it, like a J. I don't, how would you say that? Crook, thank you. And that would be used to help them if they fell into a ravine or something like that, or pull them back from the edge. He's there to protect you. I love that.
Pastor?
Yes. Yes, would you bring the microphone over to that young lady? I know. Nobody likes a microphone, but you'll get used to it. Hey, I just found out I'm being videoed, so I got to live with that. So, go ahead.
I was just wondering about the sheep. Go back to the sheep for a minute.
Okay.
All my life I've heard about the sheep. They're dumb. They're dumb. Is that really in the Word of God?
Is that in the Word of God? No, but I don't think...
Well, I've always believed it.
Okay. Well, here's the thing. I can just tell you for me. Here's the thing. I think it's probably more accurate what he was saying. I don't know... In some ways, they all go astray. So in some ways, I would say yes, because like us, we're likened to sheep. But in other ways, you know what they really need? They really just need a shepherd.
Yeah, right.
And so if the shepherd is there, the sheep are just fine. I remember a story, if I can tell you, if I have time, if I can tell you. I remember in Austria, there's this place called Schloss Milstadt. Schloss Heraldik in Milstadt. And Flo just got back from Germany. It's so beautiful over there. It's amazing. And and there was this other guy, this other pastor, Joe. And up on the hill, there's a Schloss. It's up on a hill in Milstadt. And there was this, and Joe tells about a shepherd having sheep. He said the whole thing, he had the, I don't know what they're called. You know those little outfits that they have with the suspenders? Oh, yeah, Lederhosen. Why you would wear that purposely? Anyway, and so they said, what a great opportunity. So they went up and talked to him, right? And he's like, he's with all his sheep, right? And he's like, so tell me about your sheep. And he's like, oh, this one is Gertrude. Gertrude is very stubborn. She does not do what she's told unless I yell at her. I have to yell at Gertrude. And then she does what she's supposed to do. But they're all different. If I yell at Lipstein, Lipstein does not like that. If I yell at Lipstein, she won't even look up at me all day. She'd be mad at me all day long. And then there's Vivian. And he went and described these different personalities of the sheep and how he knew them intimately. And that's how our God knows us intimately, because he knows us personally, intimately, and he'll never leave us and forsake us. It says, your rod and your staff comfort me. And when we think about this, if he'll never leave us and he'll never forsake us, and we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid because I trust in him, what can man do to me? Then we should be like 2 Timothy 2:1 said. Says, you then, my child, be strong in the grace that is in Jesus Christ. You can trust him in these situations. He'll strengthen you. He goes on to say in that thing, it says, you prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. Oh, do we have time? Okay, give me a few more minutes, guys. Listen, I remember this guy. This was about a decade ago, maybe 10, 15 years. The guy gave me a prophetic word. I'm in Panera in Sarasota in a corner booth. This guy walks up to me, never seen him before, ever. Ever. Never seen him ever again. He walks right up to me, said, something like, are you a shepherd? Are you a pastor? Yeah. He's like, I have a word from you from the Lord. It's like, oh. Well, I'll be honest. What I first thought was like, oh boy. I'm just being honest. I thought, oh, I got a loon. But as he spoke, I realized he was no loon. He's like, I just want to, he's like, you, and he started going through this thing. You're going to have a church, and you're going to do, and he just went one thing after another. I'm going, my jaw, And he's describing it, you know, almost like how I did it. Like he'll like, he's looking on the wall. He's like, you're going to have this, and it's going to be like this, and it's going to be like that, and it's going to be like this. And God, and you're going to have enemies. Pastor, you're going to have enemies all around you, and they're going to be continual. You can see their teeth. They're almost like drooling, and they're fighting, and they're wanting to get at you. And it's almost like that church is almost going to be like a castle and a keep, and you're going to go out from there, and those enemies are going to be all around you, and you're going to see them spitting and hating you. They'll be so mad at you. They're going to be all around you, those enemies. And he said, and you know what's going to happen? You're going to go out there with your, whatever he said, I don't know, disciples or whatever. He said, you're going to go out there with your remnant, and you know what the Lord's going to do? You're going to go, and he's going to make a table for you. And he's going to prepare a table for you right there with all those enemies all around you, saying all that they want, breathing threats and murders. And he's going to prepare a table in the presence of your enemies. And you're going to dine with them and fellowship with them. And he said all this extra stuff. And he said, okay, God bless. And walked away. Never saw him again. It was the neatest thing. I'll never forget that as long as I live. And it says, you prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. They had to do that with the sheep because bugs will get up in their nose and lay larvae. It's kind of icky. And then the worms grow up and get into their brain and they go crazy. And anyway, so the shepherd has to anoint them with this oil, right? So that keeps the pests away. The Lord will do that. That oil of the Holy Spirit, you know, keep those pests away in Jesus' name, you know? And so he'll anoint your head with oil, and I just see that as the Holy Spirit, you know what I mean? And it says, my cup will overflow. And listen, that Psalm 16:5, the Lord is my portion and my cup. You make my lot secure. You do, Lord. Not your 401k, not your company, not whatever your relationship. Jesus makes my lot secure. My lot. And then he says something really awesome that I love. He says, surely goodness and love, or some of your translations will say goodness and mercy. I like that. Goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That word for follow is an accurate one, but it's not really the best. Does anyone have anything different in verse 6? Surely goodness and love. Anything? Anybody have follow me? Anything else? Pursue. That's a good one. Surely goodness and love. Pursue me. That's good. Well, that's the word in Hebrew is radaf, and it means basically, it means to passionately pursue. It means to run after. It actually means almost to hunt down. So God is saying, listen, it's not like, oh, goodness and mercy is just going to follow you, mosey along. It's God is saying, listen, goodness and love, it's going to hunt you down. It's going to actively pursue you. It's going to run after you. God's mercy. You don't ever have to worry about that. I love that. It's going to hunt you down. It's going to run after you. It's going to ardently pursue you, as Mr. Darcy would say. I thought some of the girls would get that reference. Anyway, and surely, this was probably the best little, surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me or pursue me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And that's the bottom line at the end. I'll get to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So we have to ask ourselves, first off, have you made Jesus, can you honestly say that he's my shepherd? Have you made it personal? Is it real in your life? Is he really? Can you say he is my shepherd? I don't care what else I have. I have my Jesus. I've got enough. Can you say that? If not, pray and ask him to become that in your life today. But goodness and mercy, because if so, then you're leaving a trail right now as you follow Jesus. If you're not following him, you're leaving a trail of selfishness and self-centeredness and pain. Before I knew Jesus personally, that's all I left. That was my trail. Pain, hurt. That's selfishness, self-centeredness, self-focus. But now, because of the Lord, and I'm following him, the more I follow him, I give out goodness. I give out mercy. I give out love. I give out kindness. faithfulness, gentleness, as he leads. That's what I want to leave behind. Jesus. I'm giving little bits of Jesus wherever I go as I follow him, wherever he leads me. Isn't that awesome? And I want you to be that same way. And I love this psalm that says in Psalm 37:4, "One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. When this life is over, you will receive the inheritance. You'll receive the reward that he has for you. And that will be forever." Mark, I see your hand up.
You know, earlier you asked each of us to define to ourselves who he is. And when we were in the process of doing this and thinking about who we say he is, if we did not use the word my, we used he is a or the shepherd or the master or the helper. He's not my shepherd. We give ourselves away by the words that we use. So if you were not using the word my in your description of who he is to you, you need to get right with him, and today would be a good day to do that.
Let's do that. Let's all bow our heads right now, okay? Let's do that. And let's just ask the Lord, Lord, right now, Lord, if there is anyone here, Father, who has not given over their heart and life truly to you, Lord, that can say in their heart, oh, you are my God, you are my shepherd, you are my Lord, you are my best friend, Lord. Lord, I ask that you would make that real for them today, Lord God. Lord, I pray right now in Jesus' name that they would confess their need for you, Lord. Confess that they are a sinner, Lord God, and that they need you, Lord God. That you died for their sins, Lord, and you rose again from the dead, Lord God, to give them eternal life, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life, Lord. Lord, you're not a way, you are the way and the truth and the life, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for who you are. Lord, make yourself real. You already are. But in every person's life here today, Lord, and I pray if they don't know you, that they would be asking you into their hearts, Lord God, right now, Lord, saying, Lord, help me to live for you and to follow you the rest of my days, Lord God. Whatever it takes in my heart and life, get it out, that I may have room for you, so that I can follow you all the days of my life and dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Your blessing, Lord God, on each and every person here, Lord God. Draw them closer to you, Lord, so that they can live a life of your goodness and your love, following them all the days of their life and then dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Bless this congregation and each individual here with an awesome, mighty relationship with you, so that they can truly say in their heart of hearts, the Lord is my shepherd. Bless them with that, Lord. In Jesus' name alone. And all God's people said, amen, amen, amen and amen. God bless you guys. Have a great day in Jesus' name.